Thanksgiving is a season of gratitude. Aren't you glad that all of those years of graduate level education have finally paid off for me, right? That I learned that. Thanksgiving is a season of gratitude. Gratitude is so significant. I have come to believe that gratitude is one of those things that really is at a foundational level. That if we can have gratitude, if we can be thankful, as we have shared today in our song service, our shepherd's prayer time around the table together, we realize that we have much, much to be thankful for. And I'm grateful to live in a nation and in a community that values that, that celebrates Thanksgiving, that reminds us we should think about it every day, but we don't. And so having an annual reminder, this is a special time to be thankful. And for those of us who are people of faith, who trust in God and in God's Word and in our Savior Jesus Christ, we know exactly where to address that gratitude and that thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a season of gratitude. I want us to share today about four different scripture passages. If you're looking at your outline, you see it there. If you're looking online, then you see that there. And I'm not going to tell you what they are until I read them. And so, Bible quiz time today, you get to hear those passages read, or you can see them on your outline, and then you can fill in what you think the reference is. And I'm not going to tell you what it is until after we read it, unless, of course, I forget and do it anyway. I have learned as I have gone on in life that, you know, we like to memorize the BCV, right? Which means what? Book, chapter, and verse. So we like to know book, chapter, and verse. For example, Matthew 16, 18, which, by the way, is none of the ones on your outline today. But Jesus saying, upon this rock I will build what? My church. My church. That's a great verse to remember, Matthew 16, verse 18. What I have found is if I can remember the book and the chapter, I've got it narrowed down enough to where with just a minute or so, I can find the verse. Now, that has nothing to do with the fact that I find it harder to remember all three these days. Absolutely nothing. That doesn't weigh in on it at all. Oh, maybe a little. But if you can remember the book and the chapter, you can find that verse. And so all of that to say, if all you do is write down the book and the chapter in that blank for these four scriptures, I'm going to go ahead and give you full credit. Okay, so there you go. There you go. Can you identify these four scripture passages that summarize the grateful life? All four of these are pretty familiar, some of them more than others. Can you identify what they are? And here's the first one. Rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You probably have a pretty good idea of that one, maybe. Maybe not. If you said 1 Thessalonians 5, you're good to go. I love this passage in 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 16 through 18. Because as a preacher, I love anything that's got 3 points. If only there was a poem and an invitation attached to it, it'd be perfect. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, a couple of things, since this is the first one, all four of these are pretty similar, really. As we read through them, you're going to say, well, that's saying something very much like what that other one said. And that's exactly right. That's exactly right. The church at Thessalonica that received this letter, and 2 Thessalonians as well, was in modern-day Greece, in the northern part of modern-day Greece, and they had been suffering a great deal of trouble and persecution because of their faith. First and Second Thessalonians, two of the earliest books written of our New Testament, possibly the earliest ones. Galatians might be the exception to that. But this is what Paul writes to this church that's suffering so much. And he addresses persecution all the way through the letter. But then as he's beginning to wrap up, he says this. These three things in 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. So a few things about this. Rejoice always. We began this morning singing, He has what? Made me glad. And when Paul says rejoice always, he's talking to people who are suffering. He's talking to people who are going through some difficult times. And so the message is not rejoice when things are going well. The message is rejoice when? Always, always. And only people of faith can do that. Only people of faith can rejoice always. Because we realize that whatever we're going through at this very moment, at this very time, is not permanent. Even if it's permanent for the rest of our lives, it's not permanent. It's not eternal. And so we can rejoice always. We can sing, He has made me glad. Rejoice always. Pray continually. That's probably something that he didn't really have to remind them of. Pray all the time. The traditional translation, pray without ceasing. And I don't think that means that you walk around all day with a prayer on your lips. But I think that means that you walk around all day with a prayerful heart. With a heart that at any second could go to God in word of prayer because of whatever it is. Now, that prayer may take on a lot of different kinds of things as things hit your mind. But he says, rejoice always, pray continually, pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, give thanks in all circumstances. And that's the difference, again, with Christians, with people of faith versus everyone else. Everyone else give thanks when things are going great. Christians can give thanks in all circumstances. For this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And so we sing, thank you, Lord. As we did earlier, we celebrate Thanksgiving in a special way. As Jay reminded us around the table, we remember. As Wade reminded us, we remember that all of those incredible blessings that we have, that we sometimes are not very conscious of. And so we can give thanks in all circumstances because there are some things in this life that the difficult circumstances of this world cannot take away. And so when the circumstances are bad, we can still give thanks. Not because we're masochistic and we like to suffer. That's not it at all. Not it at all. Not even close. These passages themselves acknowledge that there are difficult times. And that's why we pray continually. But we can still give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. I tell people this is the perfect passage if you have a little short devotional to give sometime. Here it is. It's perfectly laid out. It's a wonderful one to remember. Scripture number two, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction. Faithful in prayer. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. For some, their favorite chapter is Romans chapter 12, and this is one of the verses in it. Romans 12, verse 12. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. People will ask, how can you give thanks in all circumstances? How can you have this optimistic spirit about you? How can you live your life with such joy? And this is the reason. Be joyful in what? Hope. You see, as long as you have hope, you can have joy. And as long as you are looking to Jesus Christ and that blood that was shed and that tomb that is now empty, you have hope. And because of that, you have joy. You can be joyful in hope, even in the most difficult of circumstances. And again, Scripture never denies the difficulty that Christians face from time to time. And this passage also affirms that. Be joyful in hope, but also be patient in what? Affliction, trouble. Jesus never promised that we wouldn't have it. In fact, he assured us that we likely would. And sometimes it would be because of our faith. That's the way of this world. And so it calls for patience. It calls for patience. It calls for that praying continually, right? Without ceasing. And sometimes that prayer is a real honest look, such as we read so many of the Psalms. God, where are you? How come you keep answering my prayer no? How come you're not delivering me? How come the bad guys continue to win? Those are okay prayers to ask, to give to God. Believe me, he knows that you're thinking them anyway. Scripture never says that we won't be afflicted at times, but it says be patient in affliction. Hang in there. Don't give up. Trust God. That's that whole faith thing, right? Oh, faith and trust are easy when there's no affliction, when there's no suffering. We're all about it. But the depth of our faith, the depth of our trust in God is measured in the worst of times. Be patient in affliction and, of course, faithful in prayer. Much like 1 Thessalonians 5 says, pray without ceasing, pray continually. Paul tells the Christians in the capital city of the empire, be faithful in prayer. Don't stop praying. Jesus told a couple of parables about that. Remember, like the lady with the had a case that she should be able to win easily, but there was an unjust judge who heard it and never ruled for her because she had no power. She had nothing to give him. In his political progress, she offered nothing, and so he didn't care. But she kept on, and she kept on, and she kept on. And finally, he heard her message, and he granted her request. Scripture says, be faithful in prayer. Don't stop praying. Continue to pray. Pray without ceasing. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. I have good news and bad news. We only have two scriptures left. That's the good news. The bad news is they're a lot longer than these first two. Sorry. This is number three. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Book in the chapter is what? Philippians 4. Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord when things are going well. Rejoice in the Lord sometimes. It's not even rejoice in the Lord most of the time. It's rejoice in the Lord what? Always. I will say it again, rejoice. And one of the interesting things about the book of Philippians is, along with a few others, Paul is writing it while he is basically in jail, at least under house arrest, waiting to be for his case to be heard by the Roman emperor Nero to see if he lives or dies. And he doesn't know how it's going to go. That's what he was going through as he writes these words. So don't hear these words and think, oh yeah, sure, that was easy for Paul. No, not at all. And yet he said, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Why can you rejoice always? Because you are in the Lord. Are you in the Lord today? If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God, if your sins haven't been washed away by the blood of Jesus, you can only rejoice when things are going well. But if you are in the Lord, you can rejoice always. Because whatever the external circumstance that you're going through is, it doesn't take away your joy. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And so here we go. Don't be anxious. Instead, what? Pray. And pray with faith and pray with thanksgiving. Now, this may not be a very good interpretation and application and understanding of this passage, but I want to tell you that as a parent and a grandparent now, that whole idea of never being anxious is pretty unrealistic when you're thinking about your kids and your loved ones. And sometimes your health. You see, it doesn't say rejoice when the doctor says, good news, it's not cancer. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And it says, take that anxiety that you feel and direct it to God. Take that anxious spirit and with thanksgiving in your heart, counting your blessings, remembering those things. Tell it to God. Be honest. Let your requests be made known to God. Don't just dwell on that anxiety, as real as it is, and it's real. But take it in sincere and genuine prayer to the Father who loves you and cares about you and sent his Son to die for you. And what's the result? Verse 7. And the peace of God, which what? The kids sing it. I've got the peace that passes understanding down in my heart, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Why does he say that? Because the peace that we feel in the midst of our anxiety, the world cannot understand. It makes no sense. How can you rejoice in the Lord always? How can you rejoice always? How can you be thankful in all circumstances? Christian, I don't get it. And they don't get it. It's the peace that passes all understanding. It's the peace that is beyond all worldly comprehension. Because it's a peace that we have no matter what's going on in our world at the time. We can be at peace. It doesn't mean there's no storms or threats. I think, personally, it doesn't even mean that there's no anxiety. It just means that it is overcome by peace that comes not from us, not from our circumstances, but from our great God. That the circumstances cannot take away. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Number 4. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Well, if you turned in your Bible to Philippians 4 or clicked on it and you had the whole chapter, you've already got the answer, don't you? Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. And I got to admit, I don't remember all of those things. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is faithful, whatever is all those other things that Paul says in that verse. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, do what? Think about those things. Think about those good things. Satan tries to throw everything in our brains other than these things. The fear, the difficulty, the hurt, the betrayals. He wants us to think about all of those things, and I can tell you that he's pretty good at what he does, which means that sometimes we're going to. But think of it like you do your laptop or your smartphone or your computer or tablet or whatever it is everybody's writing on these days. Every once in a while, you'll have something pop up. In fact, they got real creative about what they call those. They call them pop-ups. And maybe you don't have much control over what pops up. But you do have control over what you click. And so your decision to not click on that pop-up and to click on something that is more like what we just read, that's on you. Think about those things. Not the things that Satan pops up in our head to try to take us away from these good things, honorable things, true things, noble things, lovely things. If anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. And then verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice. Find those people that are good examples, good models, people who are not doing it perfectly but who are doing it well. And take a look at their lives and follow their example. See how they live their lives, and you put those things into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. Once again, what do we end up with? Peace. Peace that doesn't depend on the circumstances, doesn't depend on the world. The peace that God and God only can give. The God of peace will be with you. When we close today, we're going to sing this great song of faith. This is my Father's world. And it is. And it is. And so four things, let's keep the four thing going. Four things as we close today. The grateful life is a life of, first of all, joy. Rejoice always. Have that hope that is built on Jesus rather than the circumstances. Sometimes they're going to go our way, sometimes not, but Jesus will always be there. He will always be with you. And that's why you can always have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Joy. The grateful life is a life of joy. Secondly, the grateful life is a life of prayer. Pray continually. Pray without ceasing. When those things that cause you an anxious spirit are overwhelming, pray. Let your requests be made known to God. When we pray, it is an active demonstration and confession of our faith. We believe that there's a God who is greater than I am, who is greater than my circumstances, who will handle this. And so I take it to Him. The grateful life is a life of gratitude. Again, give thanks in what? Everything. At every turn, at every moment, we can find those things to be thankful for, even if all we can be thankful for is the fact that God is with us in the midst of the storm. The grateful life is a life of joy, of prayer, of gratitude, and of peace. Paul said it best in Philippians 4, verse 9, and the God of peace will be with you. I promise you, my friend, that that is true. And if you can't rejoice in the Lord always because you're not in the Lord, we want to talk to you about that. We want to help you with that. We would love to help make that happen. Because this is my Father's world, and He will be with you every day, every moment, every breath. And if you will turn it over to Him, the God of peace, will be with you. If you need to come, come as we stand, sing our song together.